Welcome to the Victory in Living broadcast with your hosts, Ray and Pam Jackson. We are coming to you every week to bring words of encouragement and insights into living a victorious Christian life. Psalms 138, 7 through 8 says, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands." But before we get into the lesson for today, let's ask Ray to come and sing for us.
I can't tell what's deep inside her spirit caverns. I've only read about their the depths of any ocean. But if you want to meet Jesus, I've been there. Oh, when you're ready to meet Jesus, come see me. Come see me. You're sick of sin and longing to be free, to be free. Oh, when you need a love that's so much deeper than your deepest sin, when you're ready to come home again, no matter where you've been, oh. To meet Jesus, come see me, come see me. I've not walked and talked with Earth's most famous statesman, and chances that I'll ever meet very dim. But if you just want to know this King of Glory, I can take you to meet Jesus, 'cause I know Him. Oh, when you're ready to meet Jesus, oh, come see me. Come see me. And oh, when you're sick of sin and longing to be free, to be free. Oh, if you need a love that's so much deeper than your deepest sin, and if you're ready to come back, come back home again. Oh, when you're ready to meet Jesus, just come see me. Just come see me. I said, come see me. Come see me.
And now, right, you know, we were out at the Family Worship Center a couple of weeks ago, and you sang that song you just got through singing, Come See Me, and then we got to minister for Pastor James and Alma Lampin.
Amen.
Amen. And it was a good time. But this week we're going to do what we've been promising. We're going to wrap up Divine Destiny. And so for the last several weeks, that's what we've been talking about. And we've always started with our base scripture of Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. And you know, it's good news to know that everyone has that divine destiny. But can you tell us what destiny actually means?
Well, Pam, it's the design, the goal, the intent, the intention, or the objective of our lives. Have you ever wished you could get rid of your past? Well, one of the neat things we learned was you have to leave the past behind. Did you know that God sees you perfected? Because why? The blood of Jesus.
Oh, amen. I love to talk about the blood of Jesus, but that's not our lesson today, Ray. We'll have to talk about that at some other time.
Well, you know what? I'm just so excited.
Oh, I know.
I'm telling you, look what Jesus did for us and who that makes us what we are in Him.
I know, and it's okay. It's hard not to get excited about God. But as we were studying divine destiny, we also learned that we have to get acquainted with God. And after we get acquainted with Him, we have to attend to His Word. And we have to be led by His Spirit. And we have to learn to forgive.
Wow. And it gets better than that. We actually come to the place that we can take back what the devil stole. And we continue to just keep building strong faith. Do you remember the formula for building strong faith?
I do. You have to surround yourself with what produces faith. You have to build on the Word of God, not just experiences. And you have to look to the Word of God, not someone's personality. You have to remember that obedience is necessary, but not only obedience, but also you have to have humility and you must have holy boldness.
Good. So, Pam, last week we talked about living a life of love. It's a faith that works by love, and it'll measure up to all the standards set down by the Word of God, as we studied in the love chapter of 1st Book of Corinthians, chapter 13.
That's right. And for this final lesson on divine destiny, let's hit some more important highlights. We need to understand that God's great blessings don't come cheap. Because if you know the truth about it, they're actually free.
Yes.
Because Jesus Christ Himself has already paid for them.
Amen.
But they don't just fall on you automatically.
Right. And Pam, you got to keep digging, seeking, and believing for what God's great blessings for you. You must show that God that you're willing to do for His very best. You're going for His very best.
That's right.
That you won't stand for second best.
No.
You know, I'm going to guarantee you that He's going to give you His very best because God is a great rewarder. And you know what else?
We have to remember.
He says in Jeremiah 29:11,
that's right,
that I know plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future.
Well, okay, let's look at Hebrews 11:6. It says, for without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You know, Ray, a lot of people still need to know the difference between the devil's way of operating and God's way. Because ignorance of the spirit world is the devil's greatest weapon. And the Bible proves it because of the scripture in Hosea 4:6. It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So we definitely need to know God's Word and know what we're doing.
You know, last week we talked about walking in love and that faith works by love. So let's talk about the power of God's love. God's love is so powerful enough to overcome any sin and lead any sinner into their divine destiny, into a rich life of success. His power changes lives. You need to know God's power to have victory over the devil.
You know, Raymond, you're right. And the thing is, you better have that power or there's no in between.
That's see? Right. Because God says that the Holy Spirit living inside you is greater than that of the devil that is in the world. And you need to know that because the devil don't want you to know it.
That's right. And, you know, the scripture basis for that is in 1 John 4:4 that says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So, Raymond, we know that we have the greater one, so we don't have to fear. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it tells us, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind.
So we are made overcomers by the blood and the word of our testimony.
Oh, amen.
And they overcame him, that says in Revelation 12:11, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, Raymond, that's, if you was in a church service, you'd say, let's get a witness. Amen. But you know, another thing we have to remember is that to achieve God's divine destiny, you also need to know that he wants to prosper you. But he wants to do it his way.
Amen.
His way is the best, because Proverbs 10:22 tells us that the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds
no sorrow
with it.
Let's balance that, Pam. Proverbs 6:6-8 says, let's go to the ant. He says, you sluggard, consider her ways, be wise, which having no captain, an overseer, or a ruler, but she provides her supplies in the summer, and she gathers her food in the harvest.
You know, God doesn't like lazy people. Now, he loves them, but he doesn't like them, because God desires to bless people who will work His word.
Amen.
Work his word. I'm not talking about natural physical work, but working his word. Because remember what the scripture says in James 1:22-24, he says, and be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was.
You know, Pam, did you know that God's prosperity includes peace? Hey, that's right.
That's good.
You can have the world's wisdom. You can have all the money and still not be happy.
That's right.
But you can go to church. You can do good works for God. But if you don't have the wisdom of God and his peace that passeth all understanding in your mind, you'll never be successful or prosperous. Amen?
Amen.
And you know, you don't have to have emotional valleys either. If you want to know the truth about it, God doesn't believe in bad days.
But Ray, what about the people who say, some days I'm up and some days I'm down? Don't we have to have days like that?
No, all of our days are to be full of joy, peace, contentment, and success. All of them. And as long as we say that they always will be, see, Jesus said so.
Well, back that up with scripture.
Mark 11:22-24 says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for surely I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. In these scriptures, Jesus explains that every person on earth will have whatever he or she says. Think about it. What happened every time God wanted to create something in Genesis 1?
Well, let's see. He spoke, scripture says, and God said.
And that's right. And God made us with the same ability. We create with our words. So let's make sure that we are creating good things in our lives. So if you're saying nothing or saying wrong things, then you're in a mess. And if you don't open your mouth and start saying what God's told you to say, you're going to get in a bigger mess.
Amen, Ray. That's strong medicine. But you know, you're right. We need to make up our minds to change what we say, not to just anything, but to agree with what God says. Amen? But there's another important fact that we have to understand, and that is that worship is vital in fulfilling our divine destiny.
Absolutely. John 4:24 says, for God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. God doesn't measure our success by how much money you have. He measured it by how much you love him. Let's look at Matthew 6:6. But thou, when you pray, enter into your closet. When you have shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly.
Amen. And you know what? If we only worship God in church, He will not allow His greatest and mightiest blessings and the fullness of His destiny come into our lives. Oh, I'm not saying that there won't be a certain number of blessings.
Amen.
But it won't be the fullness of the blessings if we don't worship Him when we're alone with Him.
Amen.
He will only bless you in a small degree compared to what He would like to do.
And let me say it again, Pam. To receive God's greatest blessings, people have to worship Him when you're alone.
That's right.
By yourself. And God says that in the Scripture, that He's going to reward you openly for what He sees you do in secret. How will He reward you? Well, He's going to give you wisdom, love, knowledge, compassion, money, help, joy, peace.
Amen.
On and on. Well, just how about everything?
Oh, that's so good, right? You know, God, and the thing about it is, God doesn't work part-time.
Amen.
And He doesn't leave things out. He is the author of life, and He knows exactly what we need to live a fulfilled life in the very middle of our divine destiny.
The more we talk about divine destiny, the bigger it gets. Did you know that God has a ministry for every believer? Not just the chosen few. He anoints every believer to do something for Him.
You are absolutely right. And there are three important things that I'm fixing to tell you that'll help you find the ministry God has for you and to help you fulfill that divine destiny that He planned. Number one, you have to prove to God that you are sincere, that you will not be led by men, but that you will be led by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
As to when and what to do when He wants you to.
Amen.
You have to show God that you're willing to be His servant. And you will have to get so strongly established in God's Word that you will never be influenced or led by personalities or by people with great talents. You know, Romans 8 and 14 tells us, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." You know, God didn't call you to be led by men or women with great talents, great speaking abilities, or even great ministries, right?
Okay, so we have to have a servant's heart, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and is made in the likeness of man. And we are not to be influenced by the charisma of other people.
And that scripture Ray read was Philippians 2, 6, and 7.
Amen.
And you know, Raymond, the thing of it is, if we get right in the center of what God desires to do in our life, then we can experience joy, joy, joy. Yes, that's another aspect of fulfilling God's divine destiny, and that is joy.
James 1 and 2 says what?
That's right. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation."
Amen.
What joy? Nehemiah 8 and 10 tells us that the joy of the Lord is
your
strength. That's why we need that joy. And Psalm 16 and 11 tells us, "Thou will find me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy."
Amen.
"At thy right hand there is pleasure forevermore." We need to learn to enjoy being with the Lord. You're His child and you have a right to enjoy being with Him because He wants that for you. This is part of your divine destiny in Jesus.
You know, Pam, all of this is so good, but if you're going to just reach out for your divine destiny that God's calling you to do, you're going to have to become grounded in God's Word. You're going to have to know the Bible. Matthew 22 and 29, Jesus answered and said to them, "You do err, not knowing the Scriptures, not knowing the power of God." You know, Pam, the Bible gives us the basic doctrine we should be established on, and we teach these. Hebrews 6, 1 through 2. "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection."
Amen.
"Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrines of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment."
You know, Ray, today we don't have time to get into them, but once again, these doctrines are repentance from dead works, faith toward God, doctrine of baptism, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. What I do know is that to be, true is this. If you want to search out God's destiny for your life, you need to have your beliefs firmly grounded on the Word of God.
And once we know this, Pam, we are sure that we are grounded upon the foundation of doctrines of the Word of God, then we need to know how to resist.
Resist who?
The devil, Satan, the evil one.
Okay.
You know, dealing with the devil is simple. You only need to know one thing, not dozens of things that you've heard others teaching. You know, just one word, resist.
Okay, and you know, Raymond, you're right, but you have to do it. You have to do it because no one else can do it for you. So how do we resist?
You've got to resist by using the name of Jesus against him. You have to use the name of Jesus against the devil. You take authority.
Yes.
Yes, it's in the Bible. Luke 9:1 says he called his 12 disciples together. He gave them power and authority over all the devils and to cure diseases.
And how about Mark 16:17 that says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover."
That's good, Pam. But you can take all and have all authority in the world. Though, it's not going to do you any good unless what? You exercise that authority. You must exercise your authority, your rights in Christ Jesus with the authority of faith and a strong voice in Jesus' name.
You know, and I just want to remind everybody that God still performs
miracles. Amen.
But we have to remember that perseverance makes the difference. In other words, you got to have patience.
There you go.
Don't worry about how God will do something, because guess what, folks? He's not limited to natural means.
Amen.
God has ears
He's
to
got
hear.
Ears.
He's a faith God.
A faith God.
So when you show God your faith, when you act on what you believe,
He responds.
He responds to the prayers of His children because faith brings results.
But the most important thing of all is that our ultimate destiny is to just be more like God.
Amen.
Matthew 22:36-40 says, "Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second," he said, "is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." What is Jesus telling us here? Number one, we have to worship God's will with all our heart, soul, and mind. If you love God, you will worship Him. Number two, love your neighbors yourself. So in everyday language, the way you treat God and other human beings determines whether the Bible works for you.
Wow. So, Raymond, it's so important that we remember these things that we've spoke about, and we have to bow down before God. We have to worship and love Him with all our heart, mind, and soul. And we have to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And if we don't obey these two commandments, then the destiny that He has planned for us will never be ours. So, Ray, how are we able to love?
First of all, Pam, these commandments were given in the correct order. The first commandment is to love the Lord our God. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love Him because He first loved us." Then the second was to love our neighbors as ourselves. 1 John 4:15-17, "Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he is in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, So are we in this world.
So this is what we know, and that is God is dwelling in us and us in him, and that makes us able to love. So Jesus not only showed us, but he came to dwell in us to help us love. We are able to love our neighbor because, as it says in Romans 5 and 5,
Amen.
Because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. And because the Holy Spirit lives in us, we have his fruits, his fruit of love. That's found in Galatians 5, 22 and 23 that says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law.
And you know, Pam, one of the aspects of love people don't like to talk about is mercy. Get this one.
Yeah.
When we help people, we reward the Lord. We give something
to God.
When we do something, give something to God when we do something for somebody else.
That's right.
Matthew 25:40, and the king will answer and say to him, surely I say to you, inasmuch as you've did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me.
And you know, remember, Raymond, we don't disagree with God. When a person comes to God, repents and receives Jesus as his personal Savior and Lord, he stands before God washed white as snow in the blood of the Lamb. Because it tells us in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 18, that therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Well, you know, Ray, as we bring this study to end, what are your thoughts?
Well, there's one thing I'm learning more and more and more. If we obey what Jesus called us to do and to worship God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and body, if we will love our neighbors ourselves, the blessings of God's going to fall on us all the time, and Satan will never be able to steal your divine destiny.
Amen.
I want to encourage you to write us at Victory in Living Ministries at 5221 Shiver Road, Keller, Texas, 76244. Take time and email us at Victory in Living, that's all one word, victoryinliving@aol.com. Visit us at our website, Victory in Living Ministries. Again, that's all one word, victoryinlivingministries.org. Until next week, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. According to Numbers 6:24-26.